Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome from my heart to yours. This is Sheva Carr, Director of HeartMath's Heart Mastery Program, which is hosting these calls in our Heart Start call time slot, and also the founder of the Fiera Foundation and the Heart Ambassadors. And I have with me this morning Marilyn King, who inspired the reason we're here today. Marilyn is a three-time Olympic pentathlete, two technically speaking, but in my heart three, since she made it to the Olympic team three times. But how does that story go, Marilyn? Once there was a boycott of the Olympics in Moscow, is that what happened?
Yes. What would have been my third team in 1980, the United States boycotted the Olympics that were being held in Moscow. And I placed second at the Olympic trials, but didn't score enough points to make the international team, and the international team didn't go.
Got it. So, in my book, a three-time Olympic pentathlete.
Thank you.
Regardless of whether the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed.
There you go. Yeah.
And the founder of Peace is the Only Goal, a project of Pathways to Peace. And we are here at Marilyn's Inspiration in our eight-day Peace Team Training Camp, day four. So there are several questions that came on the line this morning before we started the recording about how to maneuver Facebook. And, you know, I have a lot of compassion for this. It was actually peace-building activities that engaged me in Facebook. I had all my own judgments about Facebook, resistance to technology, difficulty with navigating, didn't feel it was intuitive. And then I was teaching HeartMath and other skills, therapeutic interventions, internal peace-building processes, and peace-dialoguing skills with teenage girls from Israel and Palestine, some of the Palestinian girls who lived in the Gaza Strip. And because, if you can imagine, these young women living in such close proximity, in some cases, they could throw a boulder across to each other's homes, but they can't communicate with each other, not when they're home. For a variety of different reasons, some of them due to literal physical blockades, walls and things like that. Others due to the backlash they would receive from their own families or their own militants if they were to communicate with so-called the other side. And so the only safe place, aside from the peace camp these girls come to every summer in New Mexico, from Israel, Palestine, where they're on neutral ground and can communicate with safety. The only safe haven for their interaction after they move from being enemies to best friends is Facebook. This is one of the many, many ways that new technologies like Facebook, as yesterday we spoke about the role of media, are paving the way for peace building around the world, the bridge of peace. And so Facebook was the only way I could stay in touch with the girls. And in fact, Facebook groups like the one that we're in, which are, this one is public, the one that I share with the girls is private because that's what protects them. So they taught me, of course, leave it to the teenagers, how to interface with them in Facebook and so we use Facebook to continue our peace building education with them. So this segues quite nicely into Marilyn, our vision card mantra for the day from Pathways to Peace. And again, encouraging everyone to visit these relevant websites to both organizations we've just spoken of, creativityforpeace.com, where I work with girls from Israel and Palestine in peace building, pathwaystopeace.org, and the Culture of Peace Initiative, where you can learn more about the organization that gave birth to these vision cards and the peace wheel. So Marilyn, do you want to bring us on into peace and education and how they relate?
Yes, and just reminding people that we're talking about When you are part of a team, it's really very important that you're really clear about what the goal is, and that Pathways to Peace, among the pioneering things that they have done over the years, was to really synthesize things that have been going on around the world with global summits and at the United Nations, and people who are just deeply, deeply involved in thinking about and advancing the cause of peace globally and systemically. And one of the great contributions, in addition to establishing the International Day of Peace, that's now celebrated in over 128 countries around the world on September 21st, I came into the possession of what I call the peace card. And as Avon says, and you reminded me, Sheva, yesterday, they are not bullet points, they are peace points on this card. And they identify eight areas or domains that really are some of the key underpinnings of elements that are present when we live in a world at peace. And so we have been going through and talking about and using as a place to focus, you know, one of these each day. And today is one of my very favorite because it is so inspiring in terms of the progress that we've made. But I'm going to read it. It says, imagine living in a world where literacy and education for all are accomplished facts. And this is one that particularly kind of makes my heart skip a beat, if that's okay, if our heart skips a beat in terms of excitement. But when I started to dive into thinking about where are we relative to this important component, we know from lots of different directions that the level of education has a direct impact on people's employability and poverty, and that poverty is a key underpinning, and the lack of poverty and moving people out of poverty is a key element in the presence of peace in the world. And when I thought about this, I thought, yeah, if we look in human history, universal education or education for all, it took place in within the family or within the tribe. If you were a young person, you were educated as a boy or a girl to do what needed to be done to help with the survival of your group or your clan or your tribe. And then it's only very recent human history in which we took children out of those entities and put them into a separate place called a school because they needed to learn things like reading and writing and other things. And now this shift to there is so much that we need to learn that doesn't really necessarily reside with our family or our clan, but that the trends, in my opinion, and the research really supports this, that it's a very exciting time around this issue. You know, when you think that the Ivy League schools are now allowing for free people to take courses online, that in Mexico, children in rural areas where there is no teacher put on their uniforms and go to school and parents just kind of guide them, but the actual instruction comes over a screen through the internet. And yet at the same time, we have some devastating things happening in parts of the world where there are groups of people who are actually terrorizing, particularly girls, who are only wanting to be educated. But the Millennium Development Goals, I have put the Millennium Development 2013 report on our Facebook page, and universal education for primary school is one of the big goals of the Millennium Development Goals, and they declare that we are 90% there in terms of where we are on the planet right now. And while the progress has slowed due to, you know, financial concerns, they declare that we are still making progress in this domain. So in terms of the underlying elements important for peace, you know, I find this one to be one of those ones that is extremely heartening.
So, Marilyn, I want to bring this to people's direct experience through the doorway of the sharings that were happening before we started recording. Some of you, and wherever some are expressing something, we know you're representing the larger whole and a larger experience many are having. Some of you spoke about not being able to get into the Facebook page. Others of you spoke about being in there but not being able to post there. And I want to invite those of you that have had that kind of experience to recognize this is exactly what it feels like to be an illiterate citizen of the world. You can't get in. There's so much you don't have access to when you cannot read, when you are not educated. You're missing little bits of simple education on how to maneuver a social networking site. Now imagine that you couldn't even read the word Facebook, that you didn't even know how to enter that in a menu bar on a computer. In this day and age, it's not enough just to be verbally literate. Computer literacy and digital interactive literacy is as important for success in the modern world, and more than success, for a sense of belonging to the world. This is what education gives us. Most of us, in particular in North America and Western Europe, have two things that we all have in common. We take our literacy completely for granted and have no idea the level of belonging our education gives us until we meet someone who doesn't have that and see how their life plays out differently. Most of us are ignorant to the fact that there is a directly proportional relationship between violent uprisings and lack of literacy and peaceful resolutions, and I could say revolutions, and literacy. I had the privilege of being in Iceland about a year ago, which has the highest literacy of anywhere in the world, more than 99% literacy in Iceland. The United States has an abominable literacy record. There are people in this country where many of us on this call live who cannot read a billboard. What has that got to do with peace building, you might ask? Well, there was a beautiful presentation that I saw at the United Nations in March, in which a campaign had been done in a Latin American country to reduce domestic violence against women, which is one of the most pervasive forms of violence and interruptions to collective peace in the world, measurably. And what this campaign had done was there was a picture of a man, clearly a husband, in a menacing, threatening, about to punch position toward the model in the image that was his wife. And there was underneath that a caption imploring people to stop doing that. But if you were illiterate, what did that message tell you? All you see is the image that reinforces the behavior. The world can be upside down when you're illiterate. It can be backwards. You can miss completely what's happening. But more than that, belonging and isolation. Literacy, a doorway of belonging. Illiteracy, a doorway of social isolation. The Sandinista revolutionaries in Nicaragua were so clear about the relationship between literacy and peace that a primary aspect, a primary strategy of their revolution to end the dictatorship of Somoza in the 70s was a literacy campaign on the ground, which I, at 19 years old, had the privilege of being a small part of, and seeing the difference it makes in a child's life and the trajectory and vector of where that life goes. Conscripted soldier on a rebel guerrilla force, gang member in the downtown Los Angeles elementary school, or college graduate belonging and contributing to the evolution of our culture and society. So literacy and peace, both inwardly in the sense of belonging that it gives us, outwardly in the outcomes it produces on a mass cultural scale, go hand in hand. All of us have experiences of what it is to be illiterate, perhaps not verbally illiterate, But these touch points, those of you are having, struggling with Facebook and how to navigate the site, see this as an incredible gift where your heart can open its compassion to what it feels like to be left out through a lack of literacy. I want to invite everyone this morning to identify some of the places where you personally feel illiterate. I'll tell you, as I take my United Nations course, I encounter my illiteracy there. Some of the language, the words, the concepts of global collaboration are so foreign to me. Even though I'm taking the course in English, I feel like I'm learning a different language. If we can get excited about our illiterate edge, as Marilyn's been inviting us to, then we can become more informed and more effective team players on the peace team for planet Earth. So I invite each of you this morning to touch not with shame, because illiteracy almost always is accompanied by shame, and shame is an energetic that drives conflict and war. So see if you can choose a different resonant path this morning as a peace builder, to touch your own illiteracy without shame or frustration, but excitement. Let your own edge of illiteracy, wherever it is, allow you a doorway of compassion for those less literate than you, who feel they belong less and therefore are willing to fight because they have nothing to lose. And as you touch your own edge of illiteracy, I invite you at the same time, as you make a list of those places where you are ready to learn more, to educate yourself more by seeking questions, doing research, gathering experts, get a tech person, get a teenager. If you want help with Facebook, find a teenager. Get a teenager to help you, to guide you, to educate you, so that you become more literate in Facebook, if that's your literacy edge. And at the same time, pause to do what most of us don't do and take for granted, by identifying how literate you are. Take a moment this morning not to take for granted, but to appreciate that you can read the magazines on the magazine rack when you go to a store to buy something, that you can read and understand the price of things, that you can read the news. We can't imagine, unless we've lived without it, how pertinent this is to the very vector of our life journey. And so I invite each of us to pause this morning, to focus attention in the area around the heart, to breathe gratitude and appreciation for where you are literate, for the skills that you already have, and we all have our versions of literacy. Trained as a doctor of Oriental medicine, I was able to go into the streets of Nicaragua and help street kids with my literacy in self-healing techniques they could apply without costly medical interventions. That was a form of literacy I could give them. What are your forms of literacy, the skills, the knowledge that you bring, your capacity to read being one of them, that help start to define your role on the peace team? Breathe appreciation for those qualities in through your heart and out through your heart this morning. This is to appreciate yourself and your life and what it has given you in terms of education. And when we appreciate that, we can't help but want others to have the same access. Our life begins to open doorways for us to contribute to the literacy of the world. And so, simultaneous to appreciating your own literacy, I invite you this morning to offer compassion as you breathe in through your heart and out through your heart, to those places where you feel blocked, left out, not literate, as a doorway to compassion to the people of many millions of peoples in the world who don't have the level of literacy you do. And through this doorway of compassion and appreciation for the literacy you bring as a peace team player, letting that illuminate some of your role on the team, as well as your compassion, which is a form of passion, allowing that compassion for the lack of literacy and the results that produces in others to give birth in you to a vision of how you can combine your compassion and your skill into a visionary action that would not just invite all of us to imagine a world where literacy is the world culture, but to create it together. And I invite each of you to listen for one action you could take today. This may not be your ultimate pathway to peace. For a teacher, an educator, this is their perhaps primary pathway to peace. But we can all pave the road for this pathway to peace to happen with accelerated ease and grace. So what action could you take today to complete and create a world where literacy and education for all are accomplished facts? One of those actions might be to get yourself more internet literate, more Facebook literate. It might be, it might not be for you. Listen for what that is for you. And part of removing the shame of illiteracy is the freedom to ask questions. So we're going to make sure on this morning's call that we have a broad space before we sign off for your questions about what we've covered so far. We're in the middle, the pinnacle of our peace training camp, and we're going to start directing you toward the fruition day, which will lead up to International Peace Day and your own passion, vision, action projects to express through you to the world on September 21st. Marilyn, before we open the lines for questions, part of our literacy and increasing literacy, you have a book you'd like to recommend for us.
Yes, and I've mentioned it before, and I have, it is on the Facebook page, but it's called Visions of a Better World, and it was created as a peace messenger initiative dedicated to the United Nations by the Brahma Kumaris. And basically what they did was they went into, I think, 123 countries and asked the question, what is your vision of a better world, i.e. peace? And they went across the, you know, economic spectrum, so there are things from military leaders and politicians and street people and teachers, and it is kind of categorized into 12 different areas. And for me, this was a seminal find when I found this book, because I thought, in terms of Olympian thinking about peace, that we needed to be clear about what we mean by peace. And from this book, I saw that it doesn't matter who you ask, that in the vast majority of cases you could go through this book and say, yes, me too, yes, this, that I could agree here, that there really is a very common set of things that people talk about when they talk about a world at peace. So I believe this is really an historic piece of work and resulting book, and I have reached out and found that there's a chance that this book may be out of print, but we are able to get our hands on 20 copies. So I'm about to find out how we could actually get those 20 copies. So
yes, and it will be 19 since I want one.
Yes. And so we'll figure out perhaps by letting me know through Facepage or if I give you an email address. But if you would like one, be sure and let me know that, and I'll put you as on the list with Sheva.
Great, Marilyn. Do you want to go ahead and give your email address so people can write to you to be added to the list for that book?
Yes. Very simple. I use the word Olympian and my initials. So it's OlympianMK, OlympianMK, at gmail.com.
Yes, and several of you have written in interested in the Estonian Song Festival retreat that Robert and I will be running in Estonia in July 4th, 2014. We are booking hotels for that now because, as you can imagine, 33,000 singers as well as visitors, over a million Estonians coming together in Tallinn to be a part of that song festival. The hotels book up fast. So if you want to be a part of that retreat, you actually will need to place your deposit in the next couple of weeks with us for the hotel. And I promise you, if you sent me an email about that, I will get to you, and you will belong and be a part of that. This issue of belonging is a fundamental core need that all human beings and all animals have. And when we remember our belonging, not just to our humanity, but to the planet itself, to the whole world, we come into a right relation with it that includes a quality of peaceful interaction. On these peace calls, one of the things we've wanted to give all of you is a sense of belonging, that you're not alone in having peace as a value. And as Marilyn pointed out, this book helps us illuminate that further, that wherever you are in the world, whatever language you speak to point at peace, pass. That the language can be different, but the core quality and value is so similar, if not the same. It gives us all a belonging to something larger than ourselves. And so I invite each of you to focus your attention in the heart this morning, to make contact with a sense, a felt sense of belonging, to breathe that feeling of belonging in through your heart and out through your heart, to know you belong here. Whether you can get into our Facebook page, read it, post on it, or not, you belong here. You belong on this team. And that feeling of belonging, I want to invite you to extend as you breathe out through your heart to every human being in this world. So much that could be shared about this and the role of education. But I believe, and Marilyn, correct me if I'm wrong, that what we'd like to do now is open the lines for your questions, for you to reach out to get the education you need in this moment, or to educate us in what you have to share.
Okay.
Is that right, Marilyn? Anything
yes.
else you want to add before that?
No, we're right on. Thank you.
So I'm going to do my best here to unmute those of you I've muted, but I will be muting your line if there's a lot of background noise. So is there anything that anyone would like to ask or share this morning?
Yes, my name is Chris. Can you hear me?
Hi, Chris. Very loud and clear.
Okay, great.
Where are you calling in from, Chris?
From Los Angeles.
Uh-huh, wonderful.
So my question has to do with, well, I heard what you said, and I really appreciated hearing what you said about getting the tech support that I need in order to be more connected to what's going on in the world and the Facebook as well. I mean, I do use Facebook, but in a limited way. But my question is a little bit different. My question is maybe related to tech support, but I want to know, I'm still confused, and I've been seeking out information about how to protect myself from, like, the negative effects of electromagnetic fields being exposed to computer and iPhone and, you know, just using the technology. So I want to be able to use the technology, but know that I'm protecting myself and my family, you know, because anywhere you go in the world, you're exposed to people standing in line or just wherever you go. So do you have any comments?
Sure. I'm happy to respond to that. Marilyn, was there anything you wanted to share or you want me to?
No, please. Shella.
So, Chris, did you realize that the Earth itself is a huge magnet?
Yes, so that's why I'm a little confused, because
we're living inside such an intense electromagnetic field. So this isn't to diminish some people with extreme sensitivities. In the institute that I work very closely with at HeartMath, again, this is being hosted by a HeartMath company, Heart Mastery, this whole call, has actually studied people with environmental sensitivity and how sensitized they are to changes in the field, not just from computers, but also the Earth's field, which is changing all the time. So the question is, how do we, you use the word protect, I would actually use a different word, because the word protect is part of our warring culture. It says, there's something outside me that's a threat to me that I have to defend against. And that is one paradigm of medicine, the war on cancer. As a physician and a healer, I approached all of that differently. First, as a healer of myself and my own illness, I had environmental sensitivity after returning from the war zone I lived in Nicaragua. Precisely because I had post-traumatic stress, I perceived everything as a threat, even at the physiological cellular level. So my body was going into defense reactions around every change in the environment, electromagnetic or otherwise. And that took a huge amount of energy and produced symptoms in my body. So what I had to teach myself to do, this is just my approach. There's many different approaches. And we'll give you some resources where you can explore that. But what I chose to do was create a paradigm shift inside my own perception and thinking and feeling. And to stop seeing things as threats that I needed to protect myself against. And start seeing everything in life, from electromagnetic field interactions to human beings and their opinions and allergens and the food I was eating, much like to ocean waves that I could surf rather than be pummeled by. So I worked, instead of defending myself against, to stabilize my own song, if you will. If you think of electromagnetic fields as radio waves, and that's an analogy, they're slightly different, but a radio station is broadcasting information, just like we are through the phone right now, on radio waves. And a radio picks up those waves and turns them into sound based on the station you tune yourself to. Mm-hmm. All those radio waves are ambient in the atmosphere. So I decided at a certain point in my own environmental illness to become a radio station instead of a radio, to be a broadcasting station of what was coming out, love and peace. Peace was actually my primary choice. And then I wasn't as affected by the things around me. And this is a skill I learned directly at HeartMath, because the heart itself is an electromagnetic field generator. And when you feel peace subjectively, it objectively and measurably creates a coherent pattern in your heart's rhythm that creates coherence in the electromagnetic field that you are broadcasting. And when you engage that, you have influence over the fields around you. So the simplest way I could answer your question, Chris, from my own life choices and experience, is I chose to become a radio station instead of a radio. So I became a broadcaster of peace, rather than picking up collective static, whether that's from ambient cell phone radiation or ambient human stress. And that's a kind of mastery that we teach at Heart Mastery, and you can learn more about that and even get a free consult from a licensed provider at heartmastery.com. So, of course, you know, there are many technologies out there. Little Q-Links is a Q-Link is a company that creates things you can wear around your chest to ward off radiation.
There's so many things out there you can put on your cell phones. And, I mean, do those things work, or is it not necessary based on...
Well, each person has to answer that for themselves, which again is why I go to the heart, because then you have an inner source of intelligence that guides you to what it is you need for your peace and as a peace creator.
Can you repeat, Shevra, so you choose to become a broadcaster versus picking up the static or the ambient...
Yeah, you got it. You repeated it for me. And it was recorded. And will be posted in Facebook later today.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you for your question. And again, this isn't to minimize. There are people with environmental sensitivity who measurably studied in the labs by the director of research at HeartMath have an autonomic nervous system that is completely disintegrated by external influence. And what we train for there is how to maintain our own balance inside, irregardless of what's influencing us outside. The peace is unconditional at that level. We don't need optimal conditions outside to feel peace inside. And when we master that or live into that truth, we become a part of a culture of peace and creating that around us. This is a wonderful question. Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you very much, Sheila.
This is Terry.
Hello, Terry.
I wanted to broadcast that I'm in Facebook.
Now, that feeling that you have right now, Terry, I want everyone to listen for that exuberance and the joy that happens when you gain access.
Yeah.
That's the feeling millions of illiterate people, or people who have, I hate calling them illiterate people, millions of people who are longing for literacy are waiting to have. Let's give them that. How can we create that?
And I love that piece about the people that are illiterate, that now I have abundant compassion to help them, for me, to read them.
Yes. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And so that's where it took me. And so thank you for bringing it back to me.
Connie Baker on the call this morning. Connie created something called the Wong Baker Faces. This is something, another place where we take our literacy completely for granted. When someone asks you in a hospital how intense your pain is, the capacity to respond and tell a treating physician or nurse what you need is a form of literacy that many people don't have, especially if their language or culture is different from the treating physician or nurse. This is a way we take our literacy for granted. And in fact, it's so serious that it can cause the death of a patient. Pain management, as Terry would know, very essential issue. So Connie created what she called the Wong Baker Faces pain scale, where nurses and doctors can hold up a card and a person can point at the face that indicates their level of pain. So they're not bound by language or the literacy of a common word.
And there's illumination.
Hmm.
For those people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's access to resources. Literacy is access to resources.
Mm-hmm.
And access to resources can be a source of peace.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have another call in just a minute. And Marilyn, I'm wondering, is there anything else you'd like to share with our group this morning? Of course, if you have more questions or comments, you can post them on the Facebook page. We are interacting with you there every day. Anything else you want to add or share, Marilyn, to complete our call this morning?
No, just my deep gratitude. Sheva, I think you do such an elegant job of just taking what we're looking to do and assisting people in understanding you know, how it both applies to them and how important it is for us to pay attention to these things in terms of the world. I just think you do a beautiful and elegant job. Thank you.
Well, right back at you, team player. It's wonderful to be on the team with all of you, because none of us could do this alone. I have a picture of one person trying to play soccer against an all-star team. Well, it needs each and every one of our positions covered. So thank you for the role you play as a peace player. Whoever you are listening to this, you belong here. And we couldn't do it without you. We'll look forward to seeing you in Facebook and to reconvening tomorrow for day 5 of our Peace Day training camp, where we'll start looking at taking this passion and hopefully vision that we're giving you and inspiring for you into the curve and denouement of action and translate into your passion, vision, peace projects for the International Day of Peace this year. Until then, much love, everyone.